This morning, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19. A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. He entered Jericho, was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, but he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He is going to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And as they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Do business with these until I come back.' But the citizens of his country hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to rule over us.' When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves, to him and given the money, to be summoned, so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. He said to him, 'Well done, good slave. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, 'Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, "And you, rule over 5 cities. The other came, saying, "Lord, here's your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you're a harsh man, and you take what you do not deposit, and reap what you do not sow.' He said to him, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could collect it with interest.' He said to the bystanders, 'Take the pounds from him, and give to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, "Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to all you have, more will be given. From those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who do not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence.' After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem." My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, in this passage, we have probably one of the most famous stories, especially if you're a kid, about Jesus, followed by one of the most disturbing parables the Lord taught. Bless you. Now, how many of you remember as a kid, or maybe at least teaching the Bible school or Sunday school class, or maybe you even just heard a song one time? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." Let's see. Herb's got his hand up. Okay. All right. Don't raise too high, Herb. I might have you come here and do a solo with it. Okay. Remember that. No, because as a kid, we like that story, don't we? You know, Zacchaeus climbed the tree because, you know, when I was a kid, I would climb the tree in my front yard and I thought that was fun. And, you know, that's not something a kid would do. And, you know, and kids, you know how it is. When you're a kid, you're trying to see stuff, and all those adults get in front of you, and you're over there bouncing around, like, "What is it? What is it?" You know, they're telling, "Be quiet, be quiet," you know. You know, you go to the parade, you got to get in front of your parents, you can see what's going on. And I think that's why kids like to store Zach Kiss, because they can relate to him. You know, everything's going on, you can't see what's going on because you're too short. Well, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem there. Let's see, we're getting closer and closer to Holy Week. So he comes to Jericho, and a lot of time we think of Jericho, we think about Josh and the Battle of Jericho. So Jericho's been rebuilt at this point, and it's actually a very wealthy place. And the chief tax collector is a guy named Zacchaeus. And it said he was rich. And as I explained before in other sermons, under the Roman Empire, the deal was if you're a tax collector, you would charge the money for the tax plus a little bit extra to pay for your salary. It was paid on kind of commission, if you will. Well, obviously, that set up a very corrupt system. You know, sometimes it's like when you read the news about some of these counties where if you go 2 miles over the speed limit, they pull you over and impound your vehicle, right? They're trying to get your money. Well, Zacchaeus was probably doing something very similar. He was charging folks way too much money. And so here he was living high on the hog, if you will. And the folks resented it because they know Zacchaeus had been ripping them off. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Everybody's coming out to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus was so short, he couldn't see Jesus. And so what does he do? He goes and climbs a tree. What would you do to go see Jesus? You know, we got one story I've used before about the poor guy's paralyzed, and his four buddies brought him to see Jesus, and the house is packed out, and they thought, well, if we can't go through the door, we'll go through the roof, right? And so they brought him down the roof, and there's Jesus preaching and teaching all that sawdust and falling on top of his hair, and these four buddies lower their friend down. And this morning, I was so blessed, and I pulled in the parking lot, and I thought, my congregation, they were so eager to come to church, somebody even came here on a tractor to get to church this morning. God bless you with that. I took a photo of it and posted on Facebook and said, my parishioners, they're ready to come to church. You know, so I'm like making a good country song. So I'm going to go to church, start my tractor up. Yeah. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And he thought, well, I'm too short. You know? So he climbs a tree. And I remember when I was in school, we had some issues back then. And my chemistry teacher, she played a song for us on cassette tape. And it was called Short People. You know? And it stuck with me. And it was, I looked it up this morning. It was a guy named Ray Newman. And he's being sarcastic. He was making fun of people and their prejudice. But the song goes, short people got nothing to give. Short people got no reason to live. They're situated down so low. You got to pick them up just to say hello. You know? And then they had another verse about short people are just like us. You know, they're human. Well, there's Zacchaeus up in that tree. Jesus comes walking by. And then to Zacchaeus' surprise, and the surprise of the crowd, Jesus stops and says, Zacchaeus. You know, that song says, come down, for I'm going to your house today. And so Zacchaeus climbs down that tree like a little squirrel. And it says he was happy to welcome him. But meanwhile, the crowd there starts grumbling. He's going to be the guest of one who's a sinner. You know, and Jesus got criticized that quite a bit in the Gospels. You read all four accounts. You see throughout his ministry, Jesus was all the time going out to eat with somebody. Sometimes it'd be a Pharisee. Sometimes it might be a tax collector. And when he ate with the tax collectors, folks were like, well, what's he doing to eat with them? And, you know, on one occasion, that's when he told the story about the prodigal son. And so there's Zacchaeus. Listen to this. He says to Jesus, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. If I had defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much. In other words, in being in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus got so convicted. He said, Lord, I'm going to do a little tax audit on my taxing. if I saw that I overcharged this guy $100, I'm going to write him a check for $400. If I overcharge her $200, I'm going to write her a check for $800. And then after all that, I'll write a big old check and give a half of my check to the Cornet Charities here to help the poor folks out. You see, Zacchaeus had a need for greed. But when he met the Lord, that need for greed went away. You see, Apostle Paul warns about how the accumulation of money can lead to sin because you're never satisfied. You know, you think, if I had $100 in my pocket, I'd be so rich. And then you get $100. But if I had $1,000, if I had $10,000, if I had $100,000, if I had $1,000,000, oh, baby, I wouldn't complain about anything. And yet how many times have we heard stories about folks who won the lucky lotto, and then a few years later, they got arrested for shoplifting coffee at the Jiffy. What happened to all your money? Well, it didn't last very long. You know why it didn't last long? Because you weren't a good steward when you had the $100 in your pocket. What made you think you were going to be a good steward when you had that $1,000,000 check in your hand? And here we see Zacchaeus saying, Lord, I want to repent, pay back those I ripped off, and then we have half my money to the poor, share the wealth. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Now, very important, do not think that Zacchaeus got saved because he gave a bunch of money. Mm-mm-mm, that's not how that works. Zacchaeus got saved first, and because of that, being free from that need of greed, he was able to be generous and pay back those he ripped off. You can't buy God's gift of salvation. I don't care how much money you got. Even Jeff Bezos, Amazon owner, right? Much money he has. Elon Musk, Bill Gates, you name them. I don't care how much money they got in their bank account. They can't buy God's salvation because it is a gift. It's free of charge to you. Now, it wasn't free to Jesus. He had to pay a terrible price on the cross for it. So listen to this. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Jesus was on a rescue mission. He was coming to seek and save those who were lost. And then Jesus, as he does so often before, he decides to preach one of his sermons that kind of get folks riled up. And he says, while they're listening to this, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And so Jesus wanted them to realize the kingdom of God is coming and it's arrived, but it's not here in its full form just yet. And he said, let me tell you a story. This a nobleman left, and he left to receive a kingdom, okay? Now, that'd be like in their time, King Herod the Great, for example, would go to Rome, and they said, okay, you're now king of the Jews. Go back there, you're now the king. And while before he left, he gave some of his slaves 10 pounds, and a pound here is about 3 months' wages for a laborer. So it wasn't anything small. It was a pretty nice sum of money there. And he told them, said, do business with these till I come back. But then you had some citizens of the country who hated him. They sent a delegation saying, we don't want this man. And that also happened in the Roman Empire where you would send a group of folks to the emperor and say, we don't like this person over us. He's no good. Pontius Pilate, for example, he got fired because the Samaritans sent a delegation and said, we don't like Pontius Pilate. And the emperor at the time said, well, you've been there 10 years. That's long enough. It's time you mosey along. Well, the nobleman returns. He returns in royal power. And so he comes in power and time for accounting. Sir, you gave me 10 pounds. I got 10 pounds back. No, 10 pounds for each pound there. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to give you 10 cities. Sir, for each one you gave me, I brought in 5. Well done, good and faithful servant. You get 5 cities. All right. What about you? Well, sir, I know you're a tough master here, a hard case. And so I just took your money and I just wrapped it up and hid in the backyard somewhere and buried it. Here it is. You have your money back. You know, I've known some stories of some old folks from the Great Depression era, right, who buried the money in the backyard because they didn't trust the banks. That's what this guy did. You know, I know of a country singer named String Bean. He hid his money up in the chimney, and they didn't find it till years and years later after he was murdered. And the master gets upset at this guy and says, "What were you thinking? You took my money and bury in the backyard? At the very least, you could take down to Capstar or Truist Bank or People's Bank. You know, I can't keep track of them now. They change every 5 minutes. Or Beaumont Credit Union. At least I got some interest off of it. What were you thinking?" And he says, "Take the money away from him and give it to this one over here who did right with my money." Now, what was all that about? And then if that wasn't bad enough, he says, "Bring my enemies here and have them slaughtered." So, well, Jesus, what's going on with this? Well, what's going on is he's actually making two connections, both to his first coming and second coming. I'll do the first coming first. It's pretty easy to figure out. The ones who rejected him, did not want him to be a king, and he came back, talking about them being slaughtered. If you follow the rest of this chapter, you see where Jesus rides into Jerusalem and he starts weeping and crying and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, salvation is coming by and you're not ready for it. And your enemies will surround you and they will kill many of you because you will not receive me as your king." Now, when you read these stories of Jesus talking about repent, which will perish, and the sword and the blood, he's talking about how in 40 years, Jerusalem will be destroyed by the Romans because the people of Jerusalem were not ready to receive their king, the Messiah, Jesus. And then the part about the money here, that has to do with his second coming. Because it says the nobleman left to receive royal power, and he came back in power. Well, Jesus is coming back in power and glory, correct? So what happens then? Well, when he comes back, what we heard say in our creed a little while ago? No, the judge, the living and the dead. The time for judgment. And one by one, we must all approach the throne of Christ and give account for our life. "Servant, I gave you these gifts, abilities, and talents and resources. What did you do with it?" And you see, we can't say, "Well, Lord, look at him, look at her." Mm-mm, we're not doing that. I'm talking about you. He goes, you know how it is when you have kids, they're in school, and you say, they say, "Oh, I know, now don't get mad. No, I know I made a 60, but Johnny there made a 40. "Yeah, but you're a lot smarter than Johnny, so you should score a lot higher than him, you know." When God blesses you with something, you need to use it for his glory. Don't bury it in the backyard and not use it. And I'm afraid we live in a society where folks are too busy on their phones and their TVs and taking it easy. You know, there's a song in the Red Book called "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." And I'm afraid too many Christians' attitude is, "Jesus is coming, take it easy," when it should be, "Jesus is coming, get busy," okay? The boss is coming. And so we do this not to earn our salvation. These are servants. They're part of the household. It's because we are saved, because we are his servants. We want to show him honor and glory when he returns and say, "Lord, you gave me this much. It may have been little. It may have been a lot. But I took this, that's what I did with it." And the words we want to hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to hear that, you know, you're given a little, you made good use of it, and now he be blessed with a lot. It'd be so sad when judgment day stand for the Lord, and the Lord said, well, I bless you with this, this, and this, and you squandered it, you lost it. Or maybe you just sat on it, you really didn't do anything wrong, you just didn't do anything with it, you just kind of, and life went by. And no, for all of us, we need to be, Lord, make me a servant. Make me productive, useful. And if we're like Zacchaeus, and we're like, Lord, you know, I got some static in my heart, okay? Then we need to get busy. And like Zacchaeus, when he start writing those checks, make amends to our neighbors if we wrong them, and show generosity to those less in need. We don't do that to earn our salvation. We do it because we have salvation. Salvation came to our house, came to our heart through the Lord Jesus. And because he freed us from the need of greed and all this other stuff, we're able to go out and be a blessing in our communities. And so my prayer is that all of us will live lives that when Christ comes back in glory and power, he'll look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.